Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Today's episode is brought to you by Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unk, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unk podcast feature casual and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unk, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey, welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind. My name is Robert Lamb.
This is Julie Douglas.
And this is a different episode that we're doing here today. Normally we distract you with the various cool things that are going on in the world, scientifically speaking. And today is very much a reactionary episode.
Well, it's kind of a distraction for us.
Yeah,
really.
Yeah, because we're here in Atlanta, stuck in the House of Works office. Can't really get home. The highways are just a complete parking lot. Cars are not moving. The MARTA tracks have completely shut down. Some people are trying to walk the tracks through the tunnels, and I believe that is meeting with varying degrees of success. But a lot of people are calling what's going on now a zombie outbreak, and we're going to use the term zombie. But really, it's a misleading term, as we'll discuss.
Well, the media keeps throwing it around because the effects of this parasite seem very zombie-like, but. Look, guys, we realize that you may not even actually hear this episode. We don't know when you'll hear it. If you do hear it, things might have changed since this recording, but it's May 1st, and we're just trying to document what's going on here in Atlanta.
Yeah. So I'm gonna just run through some of the facts, some of the things we know about what's going on right now. There's a lot of misinformation on out there. Hopefully, if you are in the area that's affected, which seems to be largely confined to the Atlanta area and a few other parts of the Southeast, then hopefully you're listening to your local radio, trying to find reliable TV signals. But we do know that a severe zombie outbreak has occurred in the Atlanta area. These zombie packs are roaming the city, generally pursued by buzzards, and coyotes, occasionally raccoons, that are attracted by the smell of decaying flesh. And
it was at first reported as a flash mob parody of The Walking Dead, because as we know, Walking Dead is filmed here in Atlanta.
It's true.
But no, it's the real deal, apparently.
Yeah, and certainly the pop culture idea of the zombie is something to take into account here, because take The Walking Dead, for example. The characters in that show are dealing with zombies or walkers, and they seem to be dealing with it outside of the pop culture idea of the zombie. Like, they don't seem to have any preconceived notions about Walking Dead and walkers and zombies and what have you. But we have to contend with that. So, again, these infected individuals are roaming the city. They are behaving violently. They are striking out against really any kind of non-infected individual that they're encountering. Meanwhile, everyone else is either holding up in their homes. And this is definitely the thing to do: hold up in your homes. The infected individuals are not going to be able to access your home. They're not going to be able to figure out locks. So if you're locked up, you're good. If you're going out and trying to engage with them, that is where the danger comes into play. Because again, everyone's been watching all these zombie programs. We have a certain preconceived notion of what this is supposed to be and then what is allowed. You have individuals that are behaving violently towards the infected. So the HSW employees, our fellow podcasters, have taken refuge inside the HSW offices.
Yeah, and we're all okay, but I mean, there are some signs of strain. Josh Clark keeps ripping strips off his shirt to make Rambo headbands.
Yeah.
Which is fine, just a little weird. And then Tracy Wilson, has used her library barcode software and tagged each of us with a call number.
Well, you know, in stressful situations, people handle things differently. They organize. Mm-hmm. They do some prep work.
Mm-hmm.
It's understandable. I do wish we could find Ben Bolin. So if anyone out there has seen him, let us know. Other things that we know, the main CDC, Centers for Disease Control compound here in Atlanta, has fallen, perhaps. We're not sure if their communication system is just out, but... we're not hearing any word from them, but this was after they did release some preliminary findings. Research continues elsewhere, but we do know that the quote-unquote zombies are not undead, but living human specimens whose systems have been hijacked by a parasitic organism.
Right. This is very important. This is really the nut of what's going on right now.
Yeah. The parasite seems to reprogram the patient over a period of hours. Gradually introducing skin necrosis and instilling a shambling gait. So they appear to be rotting, but what is going on here is the skin itself is undergoing necrosis and taking on the appearance and eventually the odor of rotting flesh. They're shambling, they're groaning, severely depleted will, and extreme aggressive behavior toward all other organisms, typified by a desire to claw, bite, and quote-unquote eat human flesh.
And a lot of name-calling. There are a lot of name-calling zombies, which, I mean, it is funny, but it's not funny.
Yeah, it's
because they want to eat your face.
It's true.
It's like Don Rickles becoming super aggressive and being sort of rabies-ridden.
Yes. And we'll get to the rabies question in a bit, too, because I know that has been something that a lot of people have been bringing up. The other thing is that popular consumption of zombie fiction, again, has prepared everyone to respond in a violent, merciless nature toward the infected, and this has only escalated the unrest. People see this happening, and it creates just anarchy in the streets.
Well, that's the question right now. Like, what is the bigger threat here, the unrest or this outbreak?
Yes. Yeah, and certainly there are more than enough guns to go around, which also complicates the situation. CDC preliminary findings indicate that the parasite may complete its life cycle within the body of a scavenging organism of some sort. Perhaps coyotes, buzzards, or maybe even bears, we're not sure. Certainly you have in situations where bears in other countries are dig up graveyard corpses and consume them. They're attracted to the smell of rotting flesh. And the CDC also indicates that the parasite is transferable from human to human via the infected's blood and saliva. Now, some of that is maybe not taking hold of your brains right away, the exactly how this is working within the life cycle of the parasite that we're still trying to understand, how it needs to enter another organism, such as a buzzard, such as a coyote, or maybe a bear, to complete its life cycle, but then can still be spread from human to human. Well, in this episode, what we're going to do, in an attempt to try and understand this unknown single-celled parasite that seems to be causing the situation, we are going to look at known examples, scientifically chronicled examples, of parasitic organisms that hijack a victim, hijack a host, and in some cases actually create zombie-like behavior in that host. We're going to look to these examples in an attempt to understand what's going on now.
Yeah, because, I mean, really, this is the best information we have so far about how to approach this outbreak in humans. So, of course, the rabies thing keeps coming up.
Yes, and I need to just stress that this is not rabies. We don't have to worry about this being a rabies situation. Human to human transmissions of rabies are almost unheard of. The Centers for Disease Control speculates that it can happen due to sexual contact, kissing, organ tissue transplants, etc. But for the most part, humans are actually catching rabies from other animals, from rabid animals. And outside of the United States, where we only have one or two, you know, three human rabies cases a year in humans, between 30,000 and 70,000 people worldwide contract rabies.
The thing is that there's a correlation with the symptoms of rabies and what we see outside of our doors today. There's the anxiety, confusion, what seems like hallucinations.
Yeah, partial or total paralysis.
Yeah. And the thing is that with rabies, we know that this doesn't really take hold, these symptoms, anywhere from like 10 days to a year.
Yeah.
As the virus incubates in the body. So the question is there a way that this rabies virus could have maybe mutated and be responsible for what we see?
The CDC is saying no, but theoretically it has been proposed in the past that if rabies were to mutate and take on flu-like symptoms,
mm-hmm.
Essentially if you had a hybrid of rabies and the flu and influenza, then you could have an airborne rabies that would spread faster and would have a higher potential to spread from human to human.
Now, a virologist at the University of Miami's Miller School of Medicine in Florida, Samita Andriansky, she has said that, sure, she could imagine a scenario where you could mix rabies with a flu virus to get airborne transmission, a measles virus to get personality changes,
mm-hmm.
encephalitis virus to cook your brain with fever, and then increase aggression even more by throwing in Ebola, okay, so that you begin to bleed from your guts. She said if you combine all these things, you could get something like a zombie virus. But she says nature doesn't allow all these things to happen at the same time.
Yeah. We're talking in this about theoretical chimera viruses. This is a big part of bioweaponry.
Mm-hmm.
The idea that we could take existing pathogens and combine them to make something even more devastating. But again, CDC has told us this is not rabies. This is not any kind of bioterrorism attack or anything of that nature. And when it comes to rabies in general, it's worth noting that, yes, you can look at a list of symptoms for rabies, mm-hmm. and you can cherry pick the symptoms that would make a zombie. But that does not mean that every human case of rabies is going to resemble something you saw in a zombie movie or resemble what's going on in the world right now.
True, true. But the paralysis, the extreme aggression, mm-hmm. these are all things that, again, we're seeing. But as you say, this seems highly unlikely as a cause of the parasite that has stricken humans.
Right. Now, on HowStuffWorks.com, we have an article by Tracy V. Wilson, which I understand she's revising right now. Over and over
again.
She's
adding a couple pages, yeah.
And photos, lots of photos. How zombies work, where she breaks down some of the issues with rabies that we've already discussed, the pop culture aspects of zombies, but then also gets into this reality of Haitian zombie powder, which is another thing. We want to specify that this is not, there's nothing going on out here in the streets of Atlanta that is related to Haitian voodoo practices and sorcery and neurotoxins.
Right. It's more of a question of bioweapons and could this happen on a mass scale? And in order to kind of give you guys an idea of what we're talking about, we should probably travel back to 1980, because in 1980 there was a man who appeared in a rural Haitian village. He claimed to be Clavius Narcisse and that he had died in a hospital in Haiti on March 2nd, 1962. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So in 1980, he comes waltzing in. He described being conscious but paralyzed during his presumed death. He had even seen the doctor cover his face with a sheet. And he claims that a bokor, or a sorcerer, mm-hmm. had resurrected him and made him a zombie.
And this was a case that was explored by Dr. Wade Davis, who traveled to Haiti, collected 8 samples of the quote-unquote zombie powder that the sorcerers were using there. And he identified ingredients that contained some of these common substances, one being a a tetrodotoxin from a pufferfish, toxic substances from a marine toad, and some irritating substances from a Hyla tree frog. Now, the tetrodotoxin definitely causes paralysis and death, and researchers have documented cases in which people have recovered from near-fatal poisonings with this substance.
Mm-hmm.
So they have maybe seemed to die, and then they have come back. So there's the possibility that this substance is the root cause of the zombie idea in Haitian culture.
Well, and some victims of tetrodotoxin poisoning often remain conscious mm-hmm. until just before death. So that would explain seeing the sheet going over your face, right?
Right. But there are a number of problems and potential problems with Davis's work. So you have a number of individuals in the scientific community who have criticized it or even called it fraudulent. Some have questioned Davis's ethics since he observed the desecration of graves while gathering ingredients for the powder. Some have questioned whether the initial experiments with the powder were scientific or controlled and whether other substances had been added to the powder being tested. Some allege that samples of the powder contain little or no tetrodotoxin. And Davis countered by saying that, that putting the powder into solution for testing may have destroyed the active ingredients. Some have charged that Davis repeated his topical applications of the powder using rats and saw absolutely no effect. And then some individuals studied the several of these alleged zombies and discovered clear cases of mental illness and mistaken identity. So that's a lot of... there are several grains of salt there that you have to potentially take into account when you're considering Davis's work.
Well, there's also this idea of how much could the skin really absorb the powder anyway.
Yeah.
And if this were to be used on a mass scale to create, you know, quote-unquote zombie humans,
mm-hmm.
how would that happen in a way that would make sense?
Yeah, and then, you know, the case that we were talking about here is an individual wandering into a village and saying, hey, I died a long time ago and I'm not dead and I'm a little confused and I'm a zombie. That's generally not what you see in zombie movies and certainly not what we're seeing on the street where we have individuals who are raising questions about their status and suggesting that they might be zombies.
Sure. They might be a bit confused, right?
Mm-hmm.
The people who purportedly have been dosed with zombie powder, but you're right, they're not marauding. And certainly what we see, the examples that we have seen out there, people are not giving their autobiographies, right?
Right. They're not. They're just engaging with other, with humans in a very brutal and aggressive fashion. So.
All right. So, you know, it's worth, I think, talking about that, but really, what we're concentrating on today are parasites, because this does seem to be the cause here.
Right. So the life of a parasite is, I think a lot of us know, is one of eternal pilgrimage and cyclical return. They must leave home, which is in one type of organism, and they must travel along strange roads through other organisms, and then they must eventually return to the place they began. So you have a primary host, and the primary host is where sexual reproduction happens. It is where the creatures are generally born, or at least the eggs are produced. You know, this is the home. And then there is a secondary organism in which it must travel. And so you end up with this cycle, this life cycle, where just as a man leaves his home and he moves to a city and then he eventually returns home to die, you know, or to begin life again. It's kind of that kind of cycle.
It's the prodigal parasite.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. All right. Well, before we go into another one of nature's examples of this, let's take a quick break because, I mean, assuming everything's okay, we still need to take a break and acknowledge what's going on.
Yeah, it may be the zombie apocalypse for all we know, but it doesn't mean that we're not going to do advertisements. So we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to get into the examples of parasitic zombies in action in the natural world.
Today's episode is brought to you by eBay. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then, through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
Picasso knows your vacation home is your best home. It's the place that brings family and friends together. It's where you're the best version of yourself. Picasso makes it easy to co-own a luxury vacation home in amazing locations. Listings start at $200K for 1/8 ownership. Picasso does the hard parts for you. Luxury furnishings, maintenance, billing, scheduling, and more. With a home management team that provides support before, during, and after your stay, so you can focus on the relaxing, hosting, and making memories with family and friends. And you can resell on Picasso's marketplace anytime, historically for a 10% gain. With Picasso, you can stop saying someday and start building family traditions today in a vacation home you own and revisit time after time. Visit Picasso.com today to see thousands of luxury vacation home listings. That's PACASO.com.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
All right, we're back. And if you're just joining us, we're in the grips of what many people are calling a zombie outbreak, or even a mild zombie apocalypse here in the Atlanta area and in certain pockets of activity throughout the Southeast. CDC, even though they have apparently lost control of their main facilities here in Atlanta, they are still on the case. They are trying to get to the heart of this. Law enforcement is out trying to control both the infected individuals who are roaming aggressively through the street and also the uninfected individuals who have watched too many zombie shows and think they need to take to the street with crude weapons to battle the infected. There's a lot of unrest. If you're listening to it, stay indoors. Do not engage with the infected individuals. But in this episode, we are talking about cases in nature where a parasite reprograms a host to do its bidding and in some cases creates a zombie from the host. So these are real-world natural examples of parasitic zombies in action, which will hopefully help us to better understand what's going on out there in the streets.
Yeah, and we're going to talk about Toxoplasma gondii. We talked about T. gondii before,
yes.
But I think it bears covering this information again, because there's some, again, there's some really interesting correlations with what we see on the streets and what we know about T. gondii. T. gondii really illustrates that single-cell parasitic organisms are capable of rewiring human behavior in an attempt to complete their life cycle. We know this. We have seen this in animals, and we've seen it in humans.
Yeah, now, toxoplasmosis, T. gondii, as we've discussed before, this is something that lives in the lining of an infected cat's intestines. And for 2 or 3 weeks following infection, millions of microscopic Toxoplasmosis young, which we call oocysts, ship out aboard the cat's feces. They leave the mothership cat aboard the cat poop, and any creature that encounters the stowaway-laden waste is susceptible to accidental infection. And this means, touching a litter box, infected soil, infected water, infected garden veggies, or, of course, more importantly, rats and rodents digging around in the poop, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Because the idea is that while the cat is the primary host, then the rat or rodent or squirrel, chipmunk, what have you, is the intermediate host, where the oocysts continue to develop. And then once they have developed inside of that rat, say, then they want to return to a cat to complete their life cycle.
And they do this by reprogramming the rat's brain. So normally a rat would say, I smell cat urine, I'm taking off, right?
Right.
This is a fear signal. They process this. But it turns out that the parasite will actually cause the rat to crave urine and be attracted to it. And not only that, the parasite is short-circuiting the fear center in the rat's brain. Okay.
Yeah.
So this is a huge behavioral change. It is essentially saying, hey, rat, why don't you go present yourself to the cat and say, here, here, kitty.
Exactly. Yeah. It's, I mean, it is the parasite is in the rat. The parasite needs to return to a cat. And so it does it by taking over the rat's brain and saying, hey, don't worry about anything. Let's take some risk. Let's go hang out around places where cats pee all the time and see what happens. And what'll probably happen is a cat will eat them. There are even some studies that look at how this affects humans when humans are the intermediate host.
Yeah, that's the question. And how does T. gondii play out in humans?
Right. There is a 2000 study from Charles University in Prague. It's made a lot of really made the rounds a few years back for sure. Reportedly, if you happen to have rhesus negative blood, which means missing a protein on the surface of your blood cells, a toxoplasmosa infection could make you 2.5 times more likely to wind up in an automobile accident. So we're getting into ideas of increased risky behavior due to the parasites tinkering with how you think and how you perceive dangers in the world.
Depending where you live in the world, between 30 and 60% of the population is infected with this already. So
yes.
Keep this in mind.
So if you were to have toxoplasmosis infection as a human, mm-hmm. as, again, the intermediate host for this parasite, you also might find yourself hearing voices or worrying over your enemy's plots against you, and your cats maybe even, and the conditions can spiral even into delusional thoughts, hallucinations, social withdrawal, and even impaired movement and cognitive function. These are also all symptoms, just so you know, of schizophrenia, debilitating brain disorder that affects 1.1% of the U.S. population. But they're still also symptoms of acute toxoplasmosis infection. So again, it goes to show just how much influence a parasite, a tiny parasite, single-cell organism, can have on the way we perceive reality and interact with it. So that's another thing to think about when you look at what should be a healthy, living human mm-hmm. behaving like a wild, you know, zombie.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing, too, about T. gondii. You know, in those certain cases, it does hijack your immune system, mm-hmm. particularly if you're someone who has a family history of schizophrenia, mental illness, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's this idea that it could tip the scales. But so far, biologist Yaroslav Flegar, who he himself actually has T. gondii, he found that toxoplasmosis, although really widespread among the population, is mostly responsible for behavioral changes like slovenly dress and introverted behavior in men and extroversion and attention to appearance in women.
Yes. So in a way, it kind of makes women a little better. It makes the cat ladies a little more pleasant and makes the men a little more awful.
Okay. So when we think about what's going on with the parasite that has taken over humans that are, you know, clearly very aggressive and slovenly, that makes sense for the male contingent, right?
Uh-huh.
But not the female. So we have plenty of female zombies that are there right now, at least from what we have seen from the news clips and from the photos. And they are not interested in matching their shoes to their purses.
Right.
Let me just put it that way.
So again, we're not saying at all that toxoplasmosis is responsible for the zombies, but we're saying here's an example in nature of how a parasite can rewire a rat or a human to do its bidding and trying to complete its life cycle.
That's right. Short-circuiting the fear system in mm-hmm. our brains, right? And hijacking the immune system.
Right. So when we look out in the streets, we see these packs of zombies. We see coyotes or buzzards in their midst, generally. In some cases, the buzzards are swooping in and eating on them, or coyotes are dragging the smaller zombies into the alleyways. The idea here is that we think, CDC thinks, that one or more of these species might be the actual primary host.
Right.
And that the parasite is making these changes in the individual, making them more aggressive, but also a little slow, a little staggery, a little stupid,
mm-hmm.
and also making them smell like rotting flesh so that creatures who scavenge and consume rotting flesh will go after them.
Because they have to complete the life cycle.
Right. Now you're, and again, you're probably wondering, well, if that's the case, if it needs to return to the scavenging creature to sexually reproduce, then what's going on inside the intermediate host? How come a zombie can bite a human being and spread this this parasite there? Well, that is because within the intermediate host, asexual reproduction is possible. And we see this in T. Gandhi. Although T. Gandhi can infect, be transmitted by, and asexually reproduce within humans and mice and most any other, you know, mammals that it's going to inhabit, the parasite can only sexually reproduce within the intestines of a cat. And we see this, we've talked about this in regard to other organisms before, where sexual reproduction is important for diversity, mm-hmm, and for long-term survival. But sometimes you've got to fall back on asexual reproduction just to get your numbers up, just to survive a particular phase. So.
Yeah, and again, just to try to make sure that we're not having information being misinterpreted here. We are not saying T. Gandhi is responsible for this.
Right.
Because if this were the case, then we would see something that looked like Pet Cemetery outside with cats,
right,
just attacking everybody and being super aggressive. And that is not the case.
Yeah.
Those are not the animals that are wandering out there.
Yeah, humans seem to be the only intermediate host of this organism. And we don't know what this organism is yet. It's something perhaps entirely new or something long forgotten. We don't know. But hopefully the CDC will have answers for us in due time. But we're going to move on to some more examples of parasites hijacking their hosts and actual cases of parasitic zombies.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this one is a pretty interesting case. And this is the case of cordyceps. What will happen is you'll have a bullet ant, for instance, and it becomes infected by a parasitical fungus of the cordyceps family. And these infect the ant's brain and reprogram it, direct the ant to crawl upward, to disregard its previous instincts, and to crawl up a blade of grass and grip the stem with its mandibles.
Mm-hmm. So its jaws stuck on that.
Yeah.
At the very top of that blade of grass.
Yeah, it's saying, I know you're programmed to, you know, do your thing, be a part of the ant colony and do some work, but instead we're going to cancel all that and you're going to climb up this blade of grass, up this plant, and you're going to grab hold and you're going to wait.
Mm-hmm.
Now, worker ants who discover this, they'll say, no, we're not having this. This is bad. And they know it's bad. So they will take the infected ant and they'll remove it. They'll drag it away and dump it far from the colony. Because if they don't do that, what happens next is pretty horrifying.
Yeah, because within 6 hours, it will be dead. And a few days later, a tube will sprout from the ant's head. And this is the fruiting body of the fungus that emits the spores, which will infect a new generation of ants. That is why they get them out of the proximity of their area, right?
Yeah. So the ant climbs up, grabs hold with all its might, mm-hmm, dies. This thing, this little fungoid sprout, splits out of its skull and then will deposit more of these spores that would cause more and more ants to lose their minds, crawl up grass, die, and then produce more spores, and on and on. And there are actually thousands of different cordyceps out there, each aimed at a different insect species.
Mm-hmm.
There are videos of it online. We'll try to share some when this episode goes live so that you can see some of these examples in action. I'll try and do a podcast notes post for this episode so you can see these things, because it's beautiful and haunting. And while there's nothing out there that makes us think that any kind of cordyceps is responsible,
mm-hmm,
for the zombie thing we see in the streets right now. If you do see infected individuals, zombies, boasting fungoid protrusions from their body or skull, do contact authorities immediately, because that is new information that they could use.
Right. So far, we have not seen that.
But generally, if you see anybody in your daily life with fungoid protrusions coming out of their head or body, do contact an authority, because that's weird.
Today's episode is brought to you by eBay. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then, through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
Picasso knows your vacation home is your best home. It's the place that brings family and friends together. It's where you're the best version of yourself. Picasso makes it easy to co-own a luxury vacation home in amazing locations. Listings start at $200K for 1/8 ownership. Picasso does the hard parts for you. Luxury furnishings, maintenance, billing, scheduling, and more. With a home management team that provides support before, during, and after your stay, so you can focus on the relaxing, hosting, and making memories with family and friends. And you can resell on Picasso's marketplace anytime, historically for a 10% gain. With Picasso, you can stop saying someday and start building family traditions today in a vacation home you own and revisit time after time. Visit Picasso.com today to see thousands of luxury vacation home listings. That's PACASO.com.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
I also wanted to bring up the flatworm, because the same sort of thing happens with ants, where a flatworm can infect an ant and, again, reprogram it, crawl all the way up the blade of grass, again, chomp down. Mm-hmm. The jaws will not move, by the way. The ant
like
is programmed,
grip.
Yes, to just sit there and wait until a cow comes, munches it, along with the flatworm.
Because again, it needs to complete its life cycle. It needs to leave the ant and enter its primary host.
Right. So it gets into the cow's rumen, and then there it begins again. So, just another example here of how widespread in nature this act is, of going in and tinkering with another organism's brain.
Yes. Now, this next one is also very, very visual, and do check out the blog post so you can see an example of this one. I'm talking about Leucocoridium paradoxum, or it's commonly known as the green-banded brood sac. And this parasite goes through a couple of different life cycles, but then it does all of the really interesting stuff inside of a snail. Okay. So what happens? You have a grazing snail. It eats some bird droppings, because that's what snails do. They're bottom feeders. They eat gross things. And then the parasite goes through some life cycles inside of the snail. And then it starts pumping embryos into a fat, throbbing, pulsating, brightly pulsating brood sac that it builds in the snake's eye stalks. So it builds this sac inside the eye stalk and then inflates it with its young. And the parasite also takes control of the snail's brain, making the creature actually crave daylight, making it set out into the open. And because snails, they tend to keep to the shadows, inside of your compost heap. So when you go to get some to stir it around, it grosses the hell out of you, that kind of thing. But it reprograms all that and said, actually, we're not going to keep to the shadows. We're going to head out into the open with our pulsating brood sac eyeball,
which is really important, because that is to a bird's eye, at least, is looks a lot like a caterpillar.
Yeah, it looks
pulsating.
Like a tasty caterpillar. They're just fat and full of protein and ready for snatching up. So that's exactly what birds do. They swoop down, they eat the eye stalk, and now they have the parasites inside of them so it can continue. Bird primary host, snail, garden snail is the secondary host, and it just continues like that. Even if the snail survives all of this, they stay paralyzed, and that means that they can infect other birds, which can infect other snails, and it just continues.
Okay, so another example we wanted to talk about is Deinocampus coccinella. This is a parasitic wasp.
Yes. Now, this is a really cool, this is a really cool wasp. I'm a big fan of wasps. Even when they sting me and or almost kill my sister or sting my wife and make her leg really itchy for a week.
That we did have an episode about wasps versus bees.
Yes, and the differences.
And wasps kind of came out on top in terms of their might and their
yes.
their frightening ability to do things like this.
Yeah, they're more warriors. So implanting your larva inside the belly of another species, wasps were doing this long before anybody dreamed up, any kind of xenomorph for an alien movie. This is why they have their stingers, their ovipositors. The idea is, they implant the young inside this living creature, and then when the thing develops, it's able to have its first meal by consuming the creature that it's growing inside of.
That it was born in. In this case, a sweet old ladybug.
Yes. Now, if you've ever had an infestation of ladybugs, you know that the sweet act gets old really fast.
Yeah.
But in this case, with Deinocampus coccinella, the young hatches inside the belly of the host. But this is following, of course, the makeshift catastrophic surgery by its parent to get it in there to begin with. But not only does the ladybug survive
mm-hmm.
this parasitic birth from it, this chest bursting, like in aliens. But there's a little bit of a behavioral modification that goes on as well that causes the ladybug to hang out and guard the parasite baby as it grows into adulthood beneath its protective bulk. And scientists believe that its secretions left by the larva when it burst out
mm-hmm.
that probably play a role in reprogramming the host.
Now, 25% of these ladybugs survive this ordeal and sort mm-hmm. of resume day-to-day behaviors, right? Normal behaviors.
Yeah. Yeah, they're just, insects are pretty hardy. And so they eventually shake off the crazy that was caused by the larval secretions. And even though they have a hole in their stomach
mm-hmm.
that a larva emerged from, they're still good to go. So, again, this is another example of a parasitic relationship that involves reprogramming of a host to do something that is advantageous to the organism. In this case, guard the young. I mean, it's like a complete case of, I really don't want to raise this wasp kid on my own. I'm going to put it inside your abdomen. And by the way, when he gets out, he's going to need a little looking after. I'm going to have you do that as well. And then afterward, if you survive all of this, then you can carry on with your normal life.
I also want to give another example of a parasitic wasp that takes over a spider that is indigenous to Costa Rica. The spider is called Anolosimus octavius. And what happens is that the wasp has genes that produce proteins that alter the spider's behavior, right?
Mm-hmm.
And in this case, the proteins contract out with the spider as though it were an architect. All right, so this is what the wasp is doing. It's basically saying, you need to build me a house.
Oh my
okay?
goodness.
So the spider abandons its own home and begins spinning a new shelter for the eventual wasp larva that will emerge from its carcass, right?
Wow.
Okay, because at this point, the wasp has already deposited its larva into the spider. The new shelter spun by the spider is key to the wasp's larva's survival. It has a platform topped by a thick sheet that protects it from rain. And the wasp larva crawls to the edge of this platform and spins a cocoon that hangs down through an opening that the spider has provided when it was creating this home for the wasp larva that emerged from its body.
Wow. That is an incredible case of parasitic manipulation. In one case, we saw the wasp saying, hey, you're going to raise my young. And in this case, hey, you're going to build a house for me.
You're going to build a house specific. And it's going to be very different from the types of homes that you normally spin.
Hmm.
This one is going to have a ledge. It's going to have some shelter. In speaking about parasites in the animal world, particularly cases of toxoplasmosis or these architect zombie spiders, the New York Times author of the article How to Control an Army of Zombies writes that whether humans are susceptible to this sort of zombie invasion is less clear. It is challenging enough to figure out how parasites manipulate invertebrates, which have a few hundred thousand neurons in their nervous systems. Vertebrates, including humans, have millions or billions of neurons, and so scientists have made fewer advances in studying their zombification. Things to think about as we face this parasite infection in front of us.
Yeah, I mean, it's getting kind of bad. The coffee machine has been out for literally hours here at work. So.
Yeah, I know. Your eye keeps twitching, and I'm going to say this. You have an unsettling presence that's beginning to form around you.
Well, that's no good at all. I'm going to have to drink more green tea.
I know. I'm going to try to find all the caffeine stores I can.
Yeah.
I promise you this.
Do you think some of our coworkers are stockpiling caffeine? Because if that is the case, there needs to be a reckoning.
Well, I think that after this, we can probably investigate.
Okay.
Maybe round up some people.
Yeah, we should round up some suspects
them.
And see who's holding. Because seriously, we're supposed to be a team here.
I know, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so we all need to be on the same page here. We
exactly,
don't need to be,
exactly.
You know, taking all the coffee and the caffeine because we need it.
Exactly.
did that sound like a body slumping up against the door?
It might be. It might be. Well, we better close this out so we can investigate that. I'm just going to rehash for people that are still listening about the threat that we're facing. Stay indoors. The infected will not be able to manipulate locks. Also, pay attention to emergency broadcasts. Listen to what's going on. Hopefully the CDC, law enforcement, National Guard will have everything sorted out shortly. Do not harm infected individuals. Again, these are not the living dead. These are individuals whose bodies have been taken over by a parasite that we're still trying to understand. It's causing their skin to undergo necrosis and appear to be rotting in order to attract scavenging organisms. And it also, recovery may be possible for these individuals. We talked about the ladybug.
Mm-hmm.
It returns to normal life after the parasite is done with it. So it may cure itself naturally. CDC may have some sort of a cure that we can start rolling out very shortly. We don't know yet, but do not harm the individuals. Do not harm the zombies. And finally, report sightings of infected to authorities as well as any new peculiarities that may be showing up, because that might help us to better understand what's happening.
Yeah, we're talking about pulsating brood sacs or fungoid protrusions.
Indeed.
All right, let us know what you guys know out there about what's going on. You can get in touch with us in many different ways.
Yes, you can visit our website, which is stufftoblowyourmind.com. You can find us on Facebook and Tumblr. We are Stuff to Blow Your Mind on both of those. Our Twitter feed is Blow the Mind. And on YouTube, we are Mind Stuff Show.
And you can always send us an email at blowthemind@discovery.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit HowStuffWorks.com.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
Today's episode is brought to you by Visible. The future of wireless is here, and it's transparent. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees, no surprises, no, really.
What are you waiting for? Get with the times and switch to Visible at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan for data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
With dozens of streaming services, box office films, and content to choose from, people are spending over 2.5 years of their lives searching for what to watch. But The Hollywood Reporter brings you THR Charts, one place for you, your family, and friends to find the most watched TV shows and movies every week. THR Charts is a guide to help you spend less time scrolling through platforms so that you can spend more time watching and binging the content everyone is talking about, all supported by data and trusted sources like Nielsen, Comscore, and Parrot Analytics. Check out THR Charts on HollywoodReporter.com.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.